You're listening to a message from Southland Church. To learn more about Southland, including our service times and upcoming events, listen to us online at mysouthland.com.
Today's message comes from special guest, Apostle Alex Metalla, founder of Back to the Bible Truth Ministries.
What a joy it is to worship God together with so many different church leaders and churches represented here. And you guys might not realize it, with the delegates that are being represented here, this is our 23rd Church Renewal Weekend. Isn't that incredible that we've been able to host and be a part of? So praise God for the work that he's doing. And the simplicity of things like what we were doing yesterday to set free was absolutely phenomenal. It's very busy and tiring. Probably everyone that's there feels a little bit tired, but all glory to God. You leave that place refreshed and cleaned and wiped, like the slate is clean, and you're just fired up in your faith to continue moving forward. I love that. And Church Renewal Weekend represents these basic ancient path tools going out to the nations. It's the Great Commission. It's incredible. We have pastors from Belize, Dominican Republic, Spain, Mexico, Peru, El Salvador, Philippines, Australia, India, Africa, USA, and Canada all represented here today. Welcome. Welcome to our church. It is our joy. It is our absolute joy to have you join us for worship. This is what the capital C Church is supposed to be about, unity, coming together in one cause under the Spirit, under Christ, to advance his kingdom. But it's also a joy from Southland to you guys. It is a joy for us to serve you. We love having you here. We love the opportunity to serve you, to help in any way that we can. We feel like we have been blessed, and we feel like we're blessed to be a blessing to others. So with that, we also have global directors, the Dubons, Pantoas are, I think I saw Joshua somewhere in the back. Joshua, where are you? Yeah, he's back there. I saw him back there anyways. The Kakuzas and the Warners. And so a warm welcome for them as well. Thank you guys for coming here. We love the work you're doing. We support you. We pray for you. And we appreciate you. And then lastly, we also have global coordinators, John Moses Ducey, Mark Sadir. Got to meet him yesterday. He is amazing. And Emmanuel and Angela Davis. Let's give them a round of applause as well. Thank you. This morning, we're going to have a special guest speaker. Apostle Alex will be speaking, but first, Pastor Ray is going to come up, and he's going to start, and then he'll hand it off. I'm very excited about that. Looking forward to the word. But one last thing to say. I want to say a special thank you to the billeters, drivers, translators, registration, food services, prayer partners, properties, everyone who has given in prayer and finances and time to pull this weekend off. Church, if we don't do it together, it doesn't happen. There's not enough staff people here to do this on our own. And you guys just joyfully serve, and it's an honor to be a part of a church like that. So one more round of applause for you guys. Thank you very much. And with that, Pastor Ray, Pastor Dad for me. Love you.
Love you too, bud. All right, this is... tremendous joy this weekend, and so we want to start with something, and I felt as I was praying about this a couple of months ago, you know, Romans 13:7 says that we are to give everyone what you owe them. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Romans 13:7, give everyone what you owe them. You know what he includes in there in the list? If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Do you believe that, church? Our culture does not respect and honor the way it ought to. And this morning, I know that you want to, and this morning we're going to honor two people. Well, two people, actually, yeah, two couples, I guess. But the first one is going to be John and Lorraine Bergen, and I'm going to ask them to come up here right now. Give them a hand as they come, please. And I'm going to say a few words about them as they stand here and endure. And he said to me as I was walking in today, he said, you know, you can still pull out of this. And I said, it's too late for that now. So here we go. I was pastoring at Southland, as many most of you know, for 22 years. And in May 2001, a woman by the name of Grace Chin prophesied over Fran and I in Toronto, and saying that one day we would travel much and mentor pastors. That was in 2001. That was a long time ago. Well, it would take another 7.5 years, and you know, you just wonder about those kinds of things. You know what? I don't know if it's true or whatever, but on December the 4th, 2008, I got a phone call from a man by the name of John Berrigan out of Kelowna, British Columbia. And he said that he was stepping down as CEO of Willow Creek Canada and that he already had other offers to lead other organizations. But he said, I think that you should start a ministry to the Canadian church. And if you do, we'd like to partner with you. I said, what on earth? And, you know, I hung up, called my wife in, and I said, I just got this phone call from this man. And then later in 2009, we actually met the following month in Langley, BC, for a day and a half of meetings because they wanted to talk about it. Then 2009, the Berrigans began to conduct the Set Free retreats just with people from different churches around Kelowna on their own. But every time they were about to start one, they would phone me and say, you know, we're going to have this Set Free. Could you send one of your staff members to run it for us? You remember that? And they said, just one time. And so we sent Tim Ryan, put him on a plane and sent him. And then a couple of months later, they'd phone me again. And they said, just one more time, can we have a staff member? Do you know how many times they did that? One more time? Six times. I kid you not. And they were inviting people from various churches and taking them through the Set Free. And then they would run a thing called the Village after that to help them grow, disciple them in church renewal principles, which I had formed here at Southland. Then in 2011, November 2011, we had four services. Our auditorium was there. It wasn't this one. I got up in the four services, and I announced that we were launching church renewal. We had no idea what that meant. And John and Lorraine were our first Canadian staff representatives. The problem was we had no pastors, we had no materials, and we had no idea about what we were going to do. We just announced it. And you all plotted, and we said, wow, that's amazing what we're going to do. And the Berrigans then organized a Set Free at the Green Bay Bible Camp in Kelowna, BC, and a whole total of 26 people came. And they were pastors mostly. They just got whoever they could. One of them was the pastor of the largest church in Canada, from Calgary. And he came, and his spouse and the other spouses came. But guess who else came? Sean Van Dopp and Phil Collins. Were there that time. And they became the first two pastors in church renewal. They signed up in church renewal, and we started mentoring them in November of 2012. Both of them are still in my group 13 years later. And today they're pastoring very big churches, and they are renewed. And if you went there, it would feel like it does here. In fact, I was in Sean Van Dopp's church last weekend. You were there. And we had a Things to Come conference, a church renewal Things to Come conference. 650 delegates, people were at that one. Isn't that amazing? So it's still happening. And then from 2011 to 2001, when COVID came, John and Lorraine organized roughly 30 round tables across the country. They crisscrossed across this country, and they were like, I called them official ankle biters. Have you ever heard of ankle biters? They're little dogs that hang on to your legs and don't let go. So pastors would finally come because they refused to take no for an answer. They would organize these round tables, then Fran and I would get on a plane, and we would fly over there, present church renewal. Then they would come to a church renewal weekend, spend time with you, and after they'd spent time with you, they were sold. Then we signed them up for mentoring. That's how it happened. So these are founders. These are foundational layers. We honor them today and bless them today. And so we have a gift for you. And it says, unwritten, there's still hope for your greater dream. That's the title. That's how their book looks, the book that they have. But we included something in the middle. It says, God is not unjust. This is Hebrews 6:10. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. Because to this day, they're leading how many groups?
Still there, yes.
How many?
Two right now.
Two groups right now they're mentoring and discipling in church renewal principles, even though they aren't staff. Isn't that amazing? So thank you, John Lorraine Berrigan, for 10 years of service. And God bless you. Let's stand and give him a hand. I think they deserve the honor and respect. Yeah. God bless you guys. We couldn't have done it without him. Yeah, that's wonderful. All right. The second person that I'm going to introduce, and there's a couple that are sitting right here, and it's Apostle Alex and Catherine Mitala, and he's going to actually speak today, because I thought you'd want, one up. Go up a notch, Ray. And so nobody speaks at a church renewal weekend except who? Exactly. It's church renewal weekend. Who else would speak for church renewal weekend? But this weekend, I invited Apostle Alex to speak. I'll just say a couple of words about him, and then, our timing is wonderful here. In November 2006, Fran and I invited Len and Tilly Neufeld to join us on a trip to Buenos Aires, Argentina, to go to a conference. By the way, there's a whole miracle story behind this. I mean, I could tell so many miracle stories. This whole thing is a God thing. Anyway, we went to Argentina, the four of us, and one day the delegates that were at that conference, he had been invited there as well, but anyway, the delegates were invited to get on buses. I think there were 9 buses, and then they took us to a place called Los Alamos Prison, because there was a church that had been planted in the prison, and they were conducting a church service, the inmates were, and a baptism in a little pool in the prison yard. And we were invited to see how, the transformation that was taking place there. So those were double-decker buses, those big double-deckers. And so we got separated from the Neufelds in the chaos that was there. And we ended up on this one bus, and I did the Christian thing because I wanted to sit on top at the front so you could see the view, right? You would do that too, right? So I Christianly elbowed my way to get that front seat and sat down there. My wife and I were so pleased that we were going to have this incredible view. And just then, an African came and sat down across the aisle from me. So on the drive there, it was a couple of hours there, I turned to him, I said, my name is so-and-so, and who are you, where are you from, what do you do? And we had this conversation all the way to the prison. He probably wanted me to be quiet, but we had a wonderful conversation. On the way back, they said, everybody sit in the exact same place you were. So sat in the same place, there was this Apostle Alex Mitala from Uganda. And so we talked all the way back. And then I shook his hand and I thought, well, that was a wonderful round trip. And when I got back that night, I had trouble sleeping. I couldn't sleep. And I got up in the morning and I said to Fran, I think we're supposed to do something with that African. But I don't know what to do. So I talked to Len, and we had 2 meetings with him. And in the second meeting, Apostle Alex said, don't give us any money. Just come and visit us. So we formed a team of four marketplace leaders and two doctors and myself. And the marketplace leaders included Len and John Fair and Bob Brandt and Joe Waldner and a couple of doctors and then one preacher. And so that was the team of seven. We traveled there in March 2007, so just a few months later. And he took us everywhere. At the time, he was overseeing 17,000 churches and pastors. And he had this other ministry called the Back to the Bible Truths. He still oversees that. And church planting and clinics, health clinics they had. And they were spreading them through the country, a big orphanage. At the time, I think it had about 800 in the orphanage. That orphanage today, because of the farm that was built, now has nearly 3,000 in the orphanage. Is that amazing? Yeah. So, on the way back, Len and I both sensed the Holy Spirit saying Joe Waldner was supposed to lead this thing. And so we voluntold him that the Holy Spirit was calling him to lead that ministry called Tupendani. And of course, he had no choice because God said so, right? And so he got his wife involved because by himself he could have never done it. And he needed Jen. And then he formed an amazing team, and included Bob and some of these others that we named, and Kevin and Randy Platt. And there's been different ones along the way, Jason Barkman for a period of time, and Ryan and so on. But he formed this team, and they sent tractors, and you gave a lot to that. Remember the tractor sitting in the front yard there? How many of you remember that? Yeah, and a combine, and they built a modern farm. Do you know that farm today supports that entire orphanage? Is that incredible? Yeah. Self-sustaining farm, and so it sustains that. So anyway, because of that, Apostle Alex began to trust the Westerners. I mean, we had to trust him, and he had to trust us. Amen? So one day, I invited him to speak here. That was in February 2012. We were sitting in our office, just ready for the service to begin. We were about to go out, and he looked at me with a stern look that he can sometimes give, and he pointed at me, and he said, "You must train my pastors." I said, "Yeah, right. I'm going to train your pastors." Well, I said, we can talk about that. He came out, and he got up to speak. Do you know what the first thing he said? "I was just talking to your pastor, and he agreed. He's going to train." That's what he did. And I'm afraid of what he's going to say next when he gets up here. And Stefan, be careful. He's going to hook you in. And so I went back and I made a very a primary little manual that was the prototype. It was the beginning, the meager beginnings of mentoring materials that we produced. And today there's over 2,000 pages of very heavy theological training that we do, not just with his pastors, but with pastors around the world. And it came because of him. And so you can see the relationship of how Tupendani set the table for church renewal. And today, his son-in-law, Henry Kokoza, is the African director for Church Renewal International. And Henry and his wife, Karen, are here as well. And you're going to see them in the prayer summit. And so that's an exciting story, isn't it? And part of the reason I'm telling you is to honor him. Part of the reason is to, at the same time, fill you in some history, because we've got a whole new generation of young people who have grown up since then and have no idea about the beginnings of all this. And we got new people that have come into the church. So that's why we tell you the story. And so now it's my privilege and honor to welcome Apostle Alex to the stage to bring us the message for this morning. Would you stand and welcome him here to Steinbeck, Manitoba, the headquarters of Church Renewal International. Thank you, my friend.
very much. The pastor and the entire leadership of the church here, and all the pastors, the delegates from wherever you have come from, church renewal people, members of this church, I just want to say, praise the Lord. Thank you very much for inviting me, Pastor Ray. Thank you very much for being our friend. I have an announcement to make. Are you ready for that? This one is number one, two announcements. Number one, my accent is very, very, very deep. So you have to be very attentive. Announcement number two, if you like my African attire, you can talk to Pastor Ray. We will charge you fairly. I came with my wife, Catherine. We have been married for the last 43 years, and we have 6 children. And we are not all that very careful like Canadians, 6 children. And we have 3 girls who came first. Henry, our Africa Global Director, Church Dino, married one of those 3 girls, and is seated somewhere here. And we have 3 boys too. So I came with the last boy. He's a grown-up man, seated somewhere there. Could you please stand up and wave? That is my son. Church renewal. I have about 35 minutes to take you through this journey. 40? Oh, 40. And I just want to encourage ourselves about this because of what is happening in Uganda. It works. Church renewal works. Tell your neighbor it works. Tell him it works. And because of that, I'm standing here. Because it works. It works in Africa. It works in Uganda. But why church renewal? You can't renew something which is new, can you? You can't renew something that is new. It has to have something wrong so that you renew. We wash our clothes because something wrong has happened, correct? We go for bathing because as we traveled all that day, something went wrong with our body. And when you smell, you need to renew. You need renewal. So you ask for the bathroom, and you know what happens there. You wash and you do so that you put off and you put on, don't you? So you put off the dirty clothes, and then you put on better clothes. So that is church renewal. I'm trying to sell church renewal to you. Will you buy it? Will you buy it? Okay. Now let's go ahead and see what I've put down here. Why church renewal? Church renewal, to renew, simply means to rebuild. You have houses where you stay, but sometimes you look at the building and you realize that the color, do you call it a color? The color of the building? You look at the color, it's no longer good, and then you think of something else. And that something is renewal. You want to renew the color of the building. The building is there, but something wrong went on, and your color is no longer the same color which you started with. Now you want to renew the building. So renewal means to rebuild, to replenish, to regenerate. Something was there, but something went wrong with it. Now you want to renew. So you can't renew something which is new. Ah, but why to renew? Because something went wrong. Now, before we go on with the journey, I want to take you to Luke chapter 15. That's where our journey will start from. We want to walk together with the prodigal son. Are you familiar with that prodigal son? Are you familiar? The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? Okay, from verse 11. We want to go with that guy wherever he went, and we want to go with him where he suffered from, and we want to go with him as he comes back home. He's coming back home, that is renewal. Will you go with me in Luke 15? All right. First of all, when you read Luke 15, verse 11, you see that this son had a father. The son has a father, had a father, and he was in the house of his father, in the home of his father. He was safe and secure in the home of his father. He had fellowship where? In the house of his father. There was truth, there was love, there was care where? In the house of his father. And he had brothers. You know, there was that kind of brotherhood and parenthood. You know, it was joy to be in his father's home, his father's house. So this son, the prodigal son, had a father, had a home, and he was enjoying. He was safe and secure. But one day, everybody say one day, one day, he said, I'm tired of being here. I am tired of being here. Now we are going to number two. What was the cause of his departure? When you study the Bible there, you don't see his father chasing him away from home. The Bible doesn't say he was chased away from home. He started it. He started it and said, my father, I'm tired of staying around here. But what was the cause? When you see verse 12 to 14, sometimes there are certain causes that we might think of. Longing for forced freedom. The younger man thought, if I leave this home and go where they don't know, I'll be free. Free? Yes, I'll be free. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 to 5, the children of Israel spoke to Samuel and they said, we are tired of staying with this God of yours. We are tired of him. We want to be free. We want to have a king like other nations, like other people. We want to be like them. We are tired of being like we are. So sometimes people leave home and go wherever they want to go. They leave church, they leave fellowship, they leave the word of God, and go because they think they'll be free or more free if they do that. So I think that could be one of the causes why this young man left home. May others leave home because they want to shun away from responsibilities. I am tired of doing this.
I'm tired of being this. I am tired of. And because they are tired of this and that, they say, let me go somewhere else. Give me my inheritance. I want to go somewhere else. Running away from responsibilities. Sometimes we leave home because of ignorance and immaturity. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, and I spoke as a child, and I as a child. So sometimes immaturity, childishness, causes us to leave home. When you leave home, you are not at home. You are not in home. You are somewhere. And sometimes it's being blind of God's word and blind of God's power. When we don't know God's word, when we are not familiar with the scripture, we can easily leave home and go wherever we think we will be free. So what happened? He left. Number three, he left. Now I want to discuss life away from home. This is the prodigal son. You remember the son we're discussing? You remember the son, prodigal son. He's now leaving home. How I wish you were there with me to see him leaving, packing his bags, you know, packing his bags, being supported by his friends, you know. It's time to leave now. It's time to go. This is the younger generation. We have to go somewhere. Leave these young old guys. And he packed, and he left home. Now, leaving home is the same as leaving God's will. Leaving home is the same as leaving fellowship. Leaving home is like departing from God's word, departing from fellowship, departing from God's will. You can go wherever you want to go, but when you are departing from home, actually you are departing from home. I've heard some people in my country, even in America there, perhaps you have them here in Canada, they say that it doesn't matter where you go, so long as you are still the son of the Father. You are the son of the Father, but once you leave home and you pack your bags and go, you are no longer in the home. That is true. He left home and he went. Why did he go? He thought he was going to have a wonderful life there. But according to what I read in the Bible, life there is a short-lived happiness. The Bible says he enjoyed himself. But as he was enjoying, some of you are business people here, you are farmers, you know, when you sell your corn, you sell your cows, and you get all that money, and you start eating the money and drinking and rejoicing, it doesn't matter how happy you are losing. You are losing. You know, spending is not addition. Spending is spending, correct? So he was out of the family, out of home, enjoying himself. But believe me, it was a short-lived happiness. And you know what happened? Stress and depression. In Genesis chapter 31, for those of you who enjoy Bible, in Genesis chapter 31, verses 41 to 42, the Bible says that Jacob, the son of, he also, for some reasons, left home. He left home, just like this guy did here. He left home. And do you know where he went? To Laban, his uncle. Leaving home going to his uncle, Laban. He spent so many years there, about 20 years. And he worked hard for 17 years. He worked hard, achieving nothing. And he complained to Laban, "I've worked for you all this long time. I've labored, I've done whatever I know, and you have not given me my wages." Well, he had to suffer. Do you know why? He was outside of the home. That's why this man of God, Pastor Ray, talks about abiding in the house. Go out, you'll see what will happen. When you go out, this happens. Jacob was not supposed to go to Laban's place. He was supposed to be in the house, to stay in the house of his father. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God of and Laban. Laban is not included. So when you leave home and you go, you have gone away. You suffer. Jacob worked hard. He worked for only one wife. He ended up with four. Can you believe? Will you call that a blessing? He worked hard for one wife. He ended up with four. And they were fighting every day. Fighting for who? For him. That was not a blessing. He got involved into all that because he went out of home. Without wasting time, this guy now, in Luke chapter 15, the Bible referred to him as lost. You leave home, you go away, whatever reason that has taken you wherever you have gone, you are lost. Not only that, he was dead, according to the father. Not according to preachers. Not according to preachers. Preachers say, "Oh, no problem. He was still a son. He was still a son." But you are not the father of the son. The father says, "My son is lost." You can't argue with the son, the father. The father says, "My son is dead." Some preachers say, no, he's still alive. Doesn't matter wherever you go, you are still a son. What kind of son? Dead. I don't want to be a dead son. I don't want to praise myself because I'm a dead son. How can I introduce myself here? My name is Alex Mitala, a dead son. You can't do that. My name is Alex Mitala, lost. Would you want me to introduce myself like that? So some preachers think that the son was okay. No. Now, ladies and gentlemen, suppose this was a church now. Leave alone the son. Now, suppose it was a church. Suppose it was a local church. Suppose it was a denomination of that kind. Once it had a foundation in God's word, but now they have left the word of God, they are doing certain other things. Lost, dead. And you know, this set free retreat spiritual inventory card has a list of these destructive attitudes and actions. Where do they find us? Where do they find us? Number four. Where do they find us? They find us where we have gone. When you go lost, you are lost, you are dead. These are the things that capture you. They are here, written here by Pastor Ray. They are here. The Bible says this younger man, he began to want. After spending everything he had, he began to want. That means to lack. No food, no what, no happiness, no joy, no this. Instead, he had these things
which Pastor Ray wrote down here. Anger, apathy, argumentative, arrogance, complaining, that one, greedy, hatred, judgmental, laziness, and all those things. He became those things. And the Bible says, finally, he began to want. He became wanting. That's what King James says. He became wanting, desiring to have, you know, good things, good life, happiness, joy, but he couldn't get that. He had no money. He was once rich, no more money. What did he do? The Bible says he started looking for a job, but he was very dirty, looking very dirty. He was stupid, dirty. Nobody wanted to employ him. Now, what advice did you give him? Prayer and fasting? No. Praise and worship? No. No. Prayer and worship cannot save you from that situation. You have to do something. Genuine conviction. Genuine conviction. Is that there? Yeah. Genuine conviction. Genuine conviction says, what does that mean? What am I doing here? The younger man said. Why should I suffer like this? Why should I live in this kind of life? You know, genuine conviction. Was the Holy Spirit working in this younger man? Yes, but this was genuine conviction based on truth and reality. This is the situation I am, but why should I continue like this? There must be that genuine conviction if we are going to enjoy church renewal. Thank you for that, amen. Oh, thank you very much. There must be genuine conviction. It's not a push. Nobody can push you. You don't need to be pushed by your pastor. Don't be pushed by your leader, whoever kind of leader you have. It has to be genuine conviction. What am I doing here? Why should I keep on suffering like this? Enough is? Come on, Canadians. Enough is? Enough. And that is the beginning of renewal. That is the beginning of renewal. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We are tired of this. We want something new. I want to see renewal in my life. So, this man said, enough is enough. What else did he do? Number five, please. When you say enough is enough, it is not enough until you have done something. You have to decide. Intentional decisiveness. You decide and say, I have to stop this. This is enough. Enough is enough. I must do something. What did he say? He said, now I remember memory of former good things. Church renewal will work well for you if you remember the former good things. This younger man said, now I remember where I came back. In my father's house, there's still food. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have left. You remember the good things that you missed. The good things that you missed. You don't act like the Israelites. They remembered the good things they missed and they decided to go back to Egypt. But for you, you want to remember your father, you want to remember where you once lived, you want to remember how good your father was, you know, how best the life was where you came from, so that you begin to get the desire for renewal. You get the desire for renewal. I've been in Canada for some few days now, but I was talking to my wife. I want to go back home. Where? Uganda, Africa. You know, I sit there and I start to remember, oh, cassava, fufu. I see some guy, African guys here. And I remember fufu, and I remember plantain, yam, yam, sweet potato. And, you know, the good weather. You know, when I wake, when I, you know, you have to carry your, you know, here in Canada, you have, wherever you go, you have to carry your cross. And do you know the cross? Your jacket. So you have to carry your cross everywhere you go. And then I remember, how I wish I was in Uganda. You know, they have to remind you every, did you come with your jacket? Alex, do you have your jacket? Then you go back into the house and you have to get the jacket. The jacket has become a jacket. How I wish I was in Uganda. So that good memory helps us to renew. Good memory about the good things. That helps me. It encourages me to go back to Uganda. Don't expect me to stay in Canada here. Even if you serve us with wonderful chicken, wonderful what, we shall go back to Uganda. Amen. So that's the church in the world. So returning to the right place. If you read Luke chapter 15, verse 18, this man, this younger man said, I will go now. That's the decision. I will go back to my father. I will go back to my father. You go back to the right place. You remember where things went wrong, and you go back there to put things right. Suppose I stole, stealing. If I stole your computer, if I stole a computer in this church here, and I wrap it in my bag and I go with it in Uganda, and you look for that computer, you look for the computer, you look for the computer, and you can't see the computer, and you wonder who stole the computer. And then you hear that, okay, Alex Mitala went to China, and when he was in China, he confessed to Chinese that he stole the computer from Southland Church. And I'm standing here. Why can't I confess to you here? And I say, guys, I am the one who stole it. That computer you are looking for, I am the one who took it. So this younger man said, I will go to my father, not to my village, not to my neighbor, not the next house, to my father. Why? Because the problem started from there. Do you hear me, sir? Do you hear me well? Yes. Go where you lost it. Let the people look in your face and believe you that, okay, he's now repenting. He was once a thief, he's no longer. That's why this younger man said, I'll go to my father, returning to the right place. You remember the wise men? In Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, the wise men, you remember the wise men? They came being led by the star. The star. Some people call it the star of David. I don't know, but they call it the star of David. And the star brought them to Jerusalem. But when they came to Jerusalem, they forgot about the star. And now they said, okay, we are now in the city. We'll make it. We'll find out where the king is born. We can't miss out. They forgot all about the star, and they followed their own wisdom, and they went everywhere looking for the newborn king. Do you know where they ended up? In the palace of a wrong king. A palace of a wrong king. This was Herod, Koko, koko, koko. That's how we do it in Africa. Koko, koko, knocking at the door. Here we are. We have come looking and we are seeking for the king who has been born. Yeah, we are the wise men. You are the wise men, but you are in the wrong place. Wise men looking for the king in the wrong place. Why? They left the star. The younger man left home. These guys left the star. And they got nothing. But the Bible says, after being advised, they went back to where they left the star. It's always good to go back where it started from. Amen? All right. I still have time. I'm doing wonderful. Yeah. Now, but the confession must be truthful. The confession must be truthful. That is Luke chapter 15 from verse 18 to 19. I think you know the story. But confession must be truthful. You don't confess for the sake of confessing. It has to be truthful. He said, I sinned against you and heavens. I sinned against you, my Father, and God. So confession must be based on humility. Humility. And you have to be ready to start anew. You have to start, be ready to start anew. He said, I'll go back to my Father, and this is what I'm going to say. When I go there, I will confess like this. Father, I sinned against you and against God. Who was forcing him? Decision. That is the beginning of renewal. You can't be forced into renewal. You can't be forced. It has to come from you. First, a conviction. Then, correct this decision, decisiveness. But the confession also must be true. True. He said, I know I'm going back to my Father, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell my Father I sinned against you and against heaven. And I don't want to be like your son. That is humbleness. This time I want to come as a worker. It seems there is he wants to start working. He's fighting laziness now. I want to come back home and do something. This time I want to be paid. I very well know and remember that you gave me everything that was mine. I have nothing to claim. I am coming back home to work. I am ready to come back. And I'm not coming back to the neighborhood. I am coming back to you, my Father. Confession based on humbleness. Have you ever seen somebody who was in a choir, church choir? We call them church choirs in Uganda. Sometimes we call it what? Church what? Mass choir, worship team, all those kind. But have you ever seen someone who was once in a choir, mass choir, and he left because, and he left. And when he comes back, he doesn't care about renewal. He just wants to come back and do what he was doing before. Before I left this church, I was playing a guitar. Now I have come back. Where's my guitar? No. It can't happen like that. You need renewal. You need renewal. I was once an elder in this church. Yes. And I went somewhere, because. Now I am back. I still want to become an elder. No. You need a church renewal. Oh, before I left here, I was the women leader. And I did much in this church. I was here when the church was starting. We are the people who suffered when we are still in that small church there before. Yes. Now I've come back. From where? We need to know. Where are you coming from? You need a church renewal. Does that sound too harsh? It's here. Confession based on humility. Don't come back for confrontations. I used to sit here. Yeah, but you have not been around for 4 years. Now someone from Uganda is the one who sits there. You can't fight him. While you were away, he took over. So, transformation obedience is needful. Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 22. The Bible says, as the son, the political son, was coming back with that decision, ready to confess, his father was the first to see him. And he came running and he hugged him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what happens when you are hugging someone who has been taking care of pigs? I mean pigs, African pigs, not your pigs here. They took me to one of your farms. The pigs are very clean here. Now think of the African pigs. Someone has been keeping African pigs, staying there all the time. Now the father is hugging him. What do you think the father is now? What is he smelling? Come on, guys, help me. What is he smelling? True transformation begins from there. When the father hugged him and smelt what he smelt, this is what he said. The father's hug determined the direction. The father handed him over to what? To coaches. Pastor Ray talks about coaches. It's not your inventory. It's here in the Bible. He said, where are my coaches? Come, guy. Come. Take him. Coaches, take him. So when you hear Pastor Ray talking about coaches, it's here. He was not the father who washed this guy. He was not the father who closed him. No, coaches, his servants. Do we have coaches here? Church renewal coaches? Do we have church renewal coaches? Yeah, you are wonderful people. You are here. Thank God for you, coaches. He said, where are my servants? Go wash him. Go put shoes on him. Go put on this and him. And they did a good job. So we need coaches. You don't just come back and sit in your former place. You need the coaches. And you know what they do? They took him somewhere in a bathroom, I guess, somewhere, and began to wash. It was a hard work. Somebody has been with pigs for some time, smelling like,
pigs.
Behaving like.
Pigs.
Now the coaches, you have a wonderful work to do. But the younger guy had also to obey. Bend. Stand up. Put off and put on. Put off and put on. We want to cut off your hair, please. We want to cut off your nails, please. We want to, like that. That's the beginning of church renewal. Obedience in action. Amen. But without wasting time, because I have a few minutes left here,
sometimes we think it's okay just to come back and you sit where you sat some 4 years back. No, it doesn't work like that. Allow the coaches to work on you. That's how church in you works. They will take you there. They know how to wash you. Allow them to wash you. Put off your clothes. No argument. Put off. Put off. Put on this. Accept and put on. That is the beginning of church in you. However, when he came back home, because of time, things were not very easy. Things were not very easy. Before music and the dance, music and the dance, oh, they rejoiced. They rejoiced, and there was a lot of dancing and drinking. For what? Because somebody who was lost, he is now found. Somebody who was dead, he is now alive. That is the true dancing. Church renewal has done great in my country because Africans, as you know, you Africans who are here, we are fond of dancing. Even when you lose somebody, we still dance. Yes, someone has died, but you find us dancing. That's part of our culture. So we dance and we dance and we shout. We are loud people. But Church renewal has taught us that it's not about dancing and jumping. It's about being real and renewal. Does that make sense? However, when this young man came back home, there was something else. There was somebody who was not happy. So as we talk about church renewal, expect critics. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Yes. He came back home, and some people were not happy. Who were those people? His brother. He was the returnee, but the remainee was not happy. Huh? The returnee was coming back home. Everybody was happy. The father was happy. But the remainee son was not happy. So this is a warning. That's as we talk about church renewal, coming back to God, coming back to the original point, that's what we mean. Could be you personal, could be a family coming back to the original point, could be a church or a denomination. Coming back to the original point. But expect criticism. Why is he coming back? He wasted all his money. Now he's coming back to the, see? But the father was a wise man. He said, son, listen. Your brother has not come to take over your property. No. He was lost. Now he's found. He was dead. Now he's alive. Ladies and gentlemen, outside there, you are dead. Outside there, you are lost. Inside your father's house, you are found. Inside your father's house, you are alive. That's why Pastor Ray teaches that abide. Now that you are back, abide. Help me to say that. Now that you are back,
abide.
Now that you are back home,
abide.
When you abide, you bear more fruits. Does that make sense to you? Thank you very much for listening to me. Abide. Tell your neighbor what?
Abide.
I didn't hear you.
Abide.
Come on, Canadians.
Abide.
Thank you. God bless you.
If today's message has encouraged you, please take a moment to rate us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream podcasts. For access to previous messages, videos, and live services, visit us online at mycellfund.com or download the Cellfund Church app. Thank you again for tuning in to this week's message.